So then our community became aware of Ernestine Dillard. There's this woman who's got a great voice, and she knows how to sing God Bless America.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And so you became known to us.
Yes.
Because you lived here.
Yes, absolutely. I think because I lived here, I was just grafted into the entire Oklahoma community before we had the big catastrophe in Oklahoma City, because I worked for the Tulsa City County Health Department as a nurse clinician. I went to work as a nurse. I also worked for Brookhaven, which is a mental health facility, Christian mental health facility. I worked for them first. All this time, I was supported by wonderful people that I work with. I just can't imagine how kind they've been. I had a friend at this Baptist church where we were going who came to me, a young friend, actually. She was young enough to be my daughter. She said, my sister told me to give you this application and said to tell you that God wanted you to have it. And, you know, I'm very skeptical when people say God said something. I married to a man because God said it. But anyway, I said, well, why doesn't she use it? She sings. So why don't you use it? You sing. She said, no, she says it's for you. So I took the application. It was an application to Savannah On Stage, American Traditions Competition. I filled out the application, and I need to send in a cassette. For anyone who doesn't know what a cassette is, that's the thing before the iPod. So I had to send in a competition cassette. And I went to this guy. His name was Lonnie Liggett. He had Greenwood Studios. The reason I went to him is because one day at work, I opened the Yellow Pages and I said, well, God, show me where I'm going to make this recording. And that's what came up, Greenwood Studios. So I went down on Greenwood. He has this long dissertation about how it was pouring down raining. And this nurse came in and he didn't think she could sing. And she's going to make this competition tape. And it's partly true. You know, he probably didn't have much hope for me making this tape. But we made it, and I started to sing. And sure enough, he did change the microphones. He changed the microphone because the one he had in there just sort of, psst. I think I hit some notes or something. And
you blew the microphone out?
Yes. He told me to get right in it.
So he got another microphone?
Yeah, he did. We got the tape done. We sent it off. From that time on, we became friends, good friends. He tried to help as much as he could.
So was this the American Traditions
Competition? American Traditions Competition. I was probably the oldest person in that competition. Most of them were young ladies from Broadway and Juilliard and other colleges and stuff like that. I was petrified.
You had like 145 entrants.
Mm-hmm. They only brought 35 or 45, I can't remember the number, that they brought over to Savannah to actually compete in person. That was long before American Idol.
But this was American Idol.
Yeah.
Savannah On Stage, American
Savannah
Traditions.
On Stage, yes.
So then did they play your presentation or did you sing it? How did that work?
They had a selection committee before we arrived. They played our cassette. And I heard someone say that they would take my competition tape and just play it all through the office everywhere. And they were saying that they were crying with the tape. That's what they said. And so I came over along with the other 35 or 45 people that were chosen from the tape selection. They put us up in homes. You know, a lot of the old colonial homes that have been redone, and they assigned us each to a family. They just took care of us for a week and a half or more of competition. We went out every other day, depending on when our day was, to sing. We went through the quarterfinal rounds, then the semifinal rounds, and then, of course, the final round. There were six of us left out of that. I was amazed every time they called my name. The interesting thing was they had Della Reese and Nettie Kasai and George Shirley and tremendous judges.
Were they there on site?
Yes.
In your musical presentation, which included God Bless America.
That was the last one.
You had how many other songs?
Oh, the first competition, I think we had 10 minutes or 12 minutes. Then the next time we had to do a 15-minute presentation. And the finals, we had to do a 30-minute presentation. So we had whatever number of songs you could get in at that time. The music had to represent what they call American music, whether it was Broadway, some of the Kearns, or some of the people from Broadway of yesteryear. And it had to be jazz or gospel or blues. They had specific composers or singers that we had to get our music from. So they had a pre-arranged list of songs we had to learn.
So now you're performing live to them.
Yes.
How old are you when you're doing this?
52.
And you said you're probably the oldest.
I was probably, if I wasn't the oldest, I was next to it.
You could be a mother.
I think I was the oldest one.
Might have, could have been mother to some of them, is that
Absolutely.
True?
Absolutely, most right. of them, yes.
When you finished your presentation.
Mm-hmm. The last one?
The last one. Mm-hmm. How did they react?
The people in the audience just stood and clapped and yelled. It was like someone running across the goalpost with a football or something. It was just amazing. Then some of the singers started singing. The ones who didn't win, they started singing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Delarice came up and she said, "Didn't God tell you that he will never leave you nor forsake you?" And I had been petrified the whole time. So I was running home to my home where I was staying. Every day after a competition, I would be praying and crying and asking God, "Why did you bring me here to this? All these wonderful people." And then they would call me, "They need you here at the theater because your name has been called for the next round." And I'm going, "Oh my God."
Because you heard voices that you thought were better than you, probably.
Oh, yeah. And they were young. I thought they were fantastic in all their credentials. They graduated from this place and they had studied with this one. Once I was standing by the stage and I was crying, one of the ladies there came up. She said, "God has brought you here for a time. You just stand up and just do your best." She was just there, staying around to help out.
Who won that competition?
I did. I won $10,000 and a gold medal.
What a thrill it had to be for you.
It was. I still get excited when I think about that. It's amazing. 52. So it lets you know that years don't mean a thing. And here I am, I'm 72, and I just came back from singing 3 days at the Trumpet Awards in Atlanta. Amazing.
Those Trumpet Awards, what is that?
It's for community service, for people who, no matter what level they are, as far as their exposure to the world or whatever, whether they're famous surgeons or whether they're famous dishwashers or whatever it is, they're giving back to the community. The late James Avery, we know from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he was a frequent person there because at one time they gave him an award. It's amazing how so many people, you know them in one arena, they're doing this because they're acting or they're dancing. But then when you see them at home in their community, they're giving back so very much. It's just always amazing. But she gives these awards as an extension of the work that Martin Luther King did. And it's really named for him. There's a thing called Walk of Fame. The people on the Walk of Fame are people who are giving back. Desmond Tutu at one time, his boots and things are on the Walk of Fame in Atlanta. This is a wonderful place to get a lot of history. There are many people at this Trumpet Award. They are just coming to attend. And you know that they're giving back so much to the community. Mm-hmm.
As a result of winning the American Traditions competition, then did you actually go on tour with Delarice?
She offered, but she called and something happened with her people, you know, that did the planning of the tour. She said she had no control. She sent me flowers and promised to have me come to her church and all that, but none of that really worked out, and that's okay.
But you did go on to perform at the Kennedy Center.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about
at
that.
At first, they had a blackout with that.
They had a blackout?
A blackout. Well, the workers went on strike about that time, and they curtailed what they called the pro bono performances that they had given out. So it was a while before they got all that squared away. It just took labor relations having to work out things with the stage hands so that they could come back and offer that to reinstate that prize.